When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday. We've made it to the end of the week. Unless, of course, you work a Saturday or a Sunday, in which case, my apologies. But it's a Friday night. It's Rabble Extra. We're joining you the night after, obviously. We went out of the Europa League. There's plenty to talk about. So please do get your thoughts and opinions in the comments. I am joined tonight by Wilf, Kerr and Lewis. We'll go through last night's game. We'll talk about everything and anything Rangers. And, of course, we'll look ahead to Sunday's trip to Dundee. Wilf, how are you?
I'm okay, Martin. Thanks. A wee bit calmer and more relaxed than I potentially could have been after last night. But yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to come to Lewis last because I'm going to lead straight into the first question with Lewis. But Kerr, how are you?
I'm fine, Martin. I'm happy as Larry, as you say. I'm finished from what? I'll not go back to Monday, so I'm totally buzzing.
I am the same. Lewis, first of all, how are you?
I'm all right. I've calmed down. Certainly not as angry as I was in the chat last night, but I've calmed down definitely.
So you were angry. It's fair to say you were angry. Why?
I think I was angry because I feel last night was a bit of a missed opportunity. I know we'll dive into the specifics a wee bit more and listen. Benfica are a good side, but they're not a great side. You listen to any sort of Benfica media, they'll tell you this is probably the worst side they've had in about a decade. And I think, you know, we've done so well to do the hard part of the tie and get the draw. And we were very unlucky to know right history, like Clement said. We really should have won that game, you know, 7 out of 10 times. A crazy on goal and an absolutely disgusting penalty decision. And then we just took it back to Ibrox and couldn't finish the job. And, you know, I won't dive too much into it because I'm sure you'll ask questions, but I just think it's about a missed opportunity.
It's weird, Will, because I've seen quite a lot on social media today. There seems to be a kind of, all right, we're out of Europe. Now we can go and focus in the league for some fans. And then from other fans, they're not happy with the way we played last night. They feel as if, like Lewis said there, it's a missed opportunity. We could have went through into the next round. For what it's worth, where I sit, Wilf, is I don't feel that we were as good as what we could have been with the players that we had on the pitch. And the reason that I say with the players that we had on the pitch, because I'm 100% convinced that if we had two or three players that on the pitch last night who are out injured, I believe we go on and we win that game. But I don't think we played as well as what we could have last night with the players that we had on the pitch.
No, we didn't. But I mean, the players we had on the pitches, they're really all we had. We had nothing else. I mean, it's as you say, if we had two or three of the injured players back, then you know, we probably would have won the tie. I mean, it didn't pass me by that Benfica rested three of their star players on Sunday because they could. They rested Di Maria and a couple of other bigger hitters on Sunday for their game at Estoril because they knew they'd take care of them and they had us coming up on Thursday. We couldn't do that because we don't have the personnel to do it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's two Thursdays in a row on very, very heavy pitches that the same guys have had to come out after playing it at the weekend as well because we just don't have the bodies not to. It's a squad depth thing. It's an injury thing. It's partly down to Scottish officials because they let people away with basically just kicking us off the park. That's how we pick up so many injuries because players know they can just kick us and they won't get, you know, they won't get sanctioned for it. I cite Ross McCausland's injury picked up against Motherwell as a prime example of that. You know, so we don't have the personnel, whereas Benfica did have the personnel, could rest their top players. We looked very, very tired yesterday. We know after Benfica scored, we were out on our arse. Benfica basically played rope-a-dope football yesterday. They just sat in and went, right, let's see what you can get. Because the one thing, and I turned to my daughter at half-time and said, the only thing I didn't expect was it to be 0-0 at half-time. I thought there'd be goals in the game. But Benfica just sat in and soaked up everything we could throw at them. And we're not clinical enough middle to front. So, yes, we could have played better. Yes, I'm really disappointed that we're out. I get the argument that 2008 and 2022 getting to European finals potentially cost us league titles and the league's non-negotiable this year. I get all that. I'd still like to have gone through. I was well geared up for booking flights to wherever I would end up in the draw today, which would have been Marseille, which would have been very, very nice, but unfortunately it wasn't. Disappointed. We've got to move on. We've got to pick ourselves up and move on. Getting some of the injured players back would be a great boost towards the end of the season. But basically, we just have to beat Dundee on Sunday. We've then got a two-week international break. I hate international breaks, but we really, really need this one just to get some more bodies, you know, together. The players that have been playing all these minutes in all these games, basically in the next 2 weeks, we should be getting wrapped up in cotton wool, bubble wrapped, given a PlayStation controller and just don't sit there for a fortnight.
Well, you can actually injure yourself playing FIFA, which I have done in the past through a controller and it hit me in the heat. But it's a very, very dangerous game. But let me qualify what I was saying. I don't feel as if the players on the pitch last night played as well as they could have. Now, there can be many factors in this. The fact that we've had to pick basically the same players now for, what's that, 3 or 4 weeks because of the amount of injuries that we do have. It was a very heavy pitch. They must have been tired. But see, at the same time, Kerr, and I don't buy this, that's not a very good Benfica team. That's a Benfica team who spent over 100 million in the summer transfer window, right? So I'm not having anybody is going to put in the comments or write in social media and tell me, oh, here, by the way, that's not a very good Benfica team. There was at least two World Cup winners in that Benfica team, right? So spare me your pish, right? But I'm also extremely proud, Kerr, over two legs, the show that we put on and the fight that we gave against what I will say was a very decent, if not very good, Portuguese Benfica team.
I was in the gym, I don't buy that either. Yeah, I'm not setting the head on fire, maybe in the homeland, but they've got a lot of players either going to go for a lot of money or players who have been bought for a lot of money in the past.
They're ahead of a team in the league who took Arsenal to penalties.
I mean, they're technically very good, and you can see yourself. And I was surprised last night at Benfica, but I thought both teams looked—they were kind of scared to go forward. They were scared to make that to go too much because of the goals you conceded the previous week. I thought Rangers done it. I thought Benfica done it, but it suited them more sitting back because the pace you've got, middle to front, frightening. And we've not got a lot of pace in that team, you know, like yourself, and that's how they scored their goal. But listen, it was fine margins last night. The squad we've got, which looked totally exhausted, and I know I was crying about making changes sooner, but it just shows either some of the boys on the bench aren't fit enough, or he just thought he didn't know what to ask him in case they caused more injuries to them. But it's fine margins. I think the goal gave him a bit up, it gave them more in the last 50 minutes of the game. Their tails went up, didn't they, after they scored? Our tails went down because even the subs come on after the goal. Nothing really happened. The game was kind of
I think personally, Kerr, and I don't usually say this, but as soon as they scored, you kind of knew it was over, didn't you?
You did. I said that as well. You did. Listen, I just think the players we've got, Clermont's done. Listen, this is a season where PSV beat us 5-1, Limassol's beat us 2-1. So to get this far in the Europa League is a success for me. Yeah, we could have went through last night. Like I said, if he'd have scored first, I thought they'd have packed in as well, because that's how close the game was. There wasn't a lot between the two teams. I flagged paper after that. But I'm actually proud of the boys last night, because there wasn't a lot to pick from. I mean, injuries we've had is more injuries than a lot of other teams have put together. And yeah, he's went to default settings with some of his picks. Lundstrom again, he looked quite tired at the end. I thought John Souter, I thought, was superb last night along with Tavernier. But up front, they're struggling. Well, you were going to struggle up. The front three struggled. I thought Silva struggled. I thought he should have been closer to Dessers. I thought Dessers being a lone front man doesn't work for me. It will never work for me. So, and I'm not going to sit here and say he was the issue. He doesn't help, but it's not his fault. He's only picked we've got at this moment in time, because obviously Ruth's just coming back. But like I said, fine margins, Martin. So I'm going to sit here and say, well done to the boys. And listen, I'm just hoping we can pick ourselves up, because there's a lot of football still to be played. But I just hope some of these guys haven't run their race, because some of them look absolutely shattered. And I just hope that we'll see as a break. We need the 3 points on Sunday. No matter how we get it, I don't care. We just need 3 points. Some of these guys look absolutely done, just the amount of football we've played recently. Mm-hmm. Because considering when Clermont has come in, the season looked done then. So to be where we are just now is phenomenal.
Jim Sloan, we're super chat. Thank you very much, Jim. Martin, it's spare me your pish, please. What did I say? Did I say it wrong? I can't remember. Listen, the rabble is famous for misquotes, as the man sitting, I mean, technically you're to my right, but technically my left. So the man sitting beside me is well known for a misquote, as is Kerr, as is Mark. So the rabble is full of them. We are not the brightest on the rabble, hence why it's called the Rangers.
I refute that. My biggest faux pas wasn't a misquote. It was a generational...
No, it was a misquote.
It was a generational change in definition. But we're not going to go there. We're not going to go there again.
We're certainly not. There was no glory in it. That's all I'm going to say. There was absolutely no glory in your statement.
I would tell you it's hope to put that in, but I won't.
No, you better not. So, Jim, thank you so much for the super chat. You always help support the show. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Kerr mentioned Cyril Dessers. He did speak, excuse me, to Rangers TV after last night's game. Let's hear what he had to say.
Cyril, a disappointing evening. Was that a game you perhaps you felt you deserved more out of?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it hurts more because you feel that you were close and that you had it in your hands. But yeah, that's the other side of football. And in this stage in Europa League, yeah, you get teams with a lot of quality, and you give them one moment and they finish it.
Yeah, is it even more frustrating considering obviously you did have lots of the ball? Did you feel you just lacked that cutting edge in the final third?
Yeah, that was it. I think we had a lot of opportunities to create a big chance, and it was always just not there. We like a few centimeters. We had a few, or I had a good chance, but it got then deflected at the end, and with the effect, it went just next to the goal instead of into the goal. So these are the small things, and at this level, they make the difference. But I think we can be proud of what we did today, of what we showed for everybody in Europe to do this against a big team, a very good team like Benfica, has to give us confidence for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and just a word on the fans. They were terrific throughout the 90 minutes, and you saw their appreciation for the players at the end, didn't you?
No, I don't have a lot of words for it. Ibrox tonight was magical. Yeah, you hear a lot about it, and obviously 2 years ago everybody saw what this stadium, how it can be in a knockout game in Europa League. But tonight was absolutely fantastic. They did everything for us. They gave us the energy. They gave us the boost. I'm really sad that we cannot give them the result back, but I think they saw a good game from their own team, and like I say, hopefully yeah, this gives us confidence as a team, but also for the fans to just make this a beautiful end of the season.
Yeah, there is still a lot to play for this season. There must be a lot of excitement in the dressing room.
The excitement is not there today, tonight, but from tomorrow on, we have to take the positives from this game, from this level. And if we can show what we showed tonight on the highest level, if we can do this in the league and in the cup, then I'm sure there are beautiful things possible.
You sure? That's actually quite a decent interview, Lewis. There's about four or five questions I could ask you. With regards to Cyril Dessers, I'll come back to the what does last night do for the team going forward in a wee second, but just on Cyril, he seemed to get a lot of the backlash last night for his performance. Is that fair?
I think criticism is definitely fair, but maybe to the degree that it was being slated towards him was slightly unfair. You would think by now we would have realised what his strengths and weaknesses are, but some people still expect him to be a perfect combination of Čolak and Morelos, and unfortunately isn't he? And he's 29 now, so he's never going to be. He is what he is. You can't develop a footballer that much at that age. And as big as he is, as physical as he can be, I don't think his game is holding up the ball. He tends to try and run in behind every single chance he gets. It's like he's scared to go towards the football unless he's going to strike it. Right? He doesn't want to take any touches. He doesn't want to pop up and drop deep. He just wants to run in behind every single time. But then randomly, he'll just drop back to left wing and play a cross-field pass. I don't understand. He's an enigma of a footballer. You know, sometimes you see him and he's a 10 out of 10. The next time you see him, he's a 1 out of 10. I don't think he's awful, like the comments are saying. I think he's certainly a decent enough backup option for Rangers, certainly domestically. His goal record speaks for that on its own, but he cannot be the number 9 going forward. And I think we were maybe falling into a wee bit of a trap when he started performing recently that he could have been, but I think we know now that at this level, and this is the level that Rangers should be aiming for, Cyril Dessers cannot be the main number 9, unfortunately. But listen, his interview was impressive. I think he's always spoke well. He seems like a good character, but it's only half of the battle as a footballer. You need the talent and ability to go along with it. So.
No, listen, and I get that. And we're going to hear for John Souter as well. I made that sound as if he spoke to the rabble. He didn't, but I'm just going to pretend that he did. So we're going to hear for John Souter shortly as well. Well, one of the complaints I was hearing, which I don't like criticising Rangers players. I'm not a fan of it, especially while they're at the club. Once they leave the club, then it's fair game. You can say what you want. But some of the criticism coming his way is he gets over far too easy. And, you know, we're quick enough to point out when players at other clubs do it. I think it's only fair that we point it out when one of our own does it. And it's really frustrating because there is certain times in certain situations that Cyril's in, whereas if he just stays on his feet, he's got a chance. But every single time he feels the slightest bit of contact, he's on his arse.
Yeah, it's not just the fact that he falls over very, very easy, which he does, as you say, every time he gets a bit of contact. He then looks up at the ref and starts complaining he hasn't got the free kick rather than getting on with the game. I mean, there's been occasions, not last night, granted, but there has been occasions where he's fallen over, the ball still more or less at his feet, and he's too busy remonstrating that he wanted the free kick to actually get on and chase the ball. It's something that, as Lewis says, he's 29 now. That's not, you're not going to knock that out of his game. That's just who he is. And we should know that. They should have known that before they signed him. And if he didn't know already, he should certainly be well aware of it now that Rangers don't get, you know, little free kicks. You don't get cheap free kicks. You should know that. We're certainly not going to get them in Europe. We don't get them domestically either. So, yeah, he does go over too easy. But, I mean, the criticism, as Lewis said, the criticism of him last night, I think, was about OTT. I mean, the one that the keeper saved that ultimately he was offside, he should have been burying that. And, okay, the offside flag would have rolled it off. But I don't think he should be getting that ball in the first place because the pass should have gone the other way. I don't think they should have played him through. I think it was Lawrence. Was it Lawrence who played the pass to him? I think he should have played it to the right to Silva, who wasn't offside and was in a better position. But that's that's not getting away from the fact that Serial should have buried that chance that he had, and then just let the linesman rule off.
Yeah, I mean, Kerry and Thompson saying exactly about his remonstrations are a smokescreen for his lack of ability. I don't know whether I agree with that completely, Kerr, but it is something that he does a lot. But also, to pick up on Will's point, he gets so much stick for being offside a lot. And I'm not saying that, look, every time he's offside, it's not his fault. But has there been quite a few situations, especially from what I've seen, and I'm trying to back him as much as I can until one of you say otherwise, but where the pass should be made quicker, whereas what Wolf says there, sometimes the pass shouldn't be made to him, it should be made to somebody else, but it always seems to be him.
To be honest with you, Martin, I don't think that really matters. The thing with Des is basically he's not good enough. Honestly, he's not good enough for this level, and you can see that, but that's not his fault. Yeah, he tries hard, he doesn't give up, but he just isn't good enough. And I know Clermont's getting a bit of why did they play him, but his only option he's got at the moment, and like Lewis said, he doesn't fit into a Clermont way of playing either. He can't hold the ball up. He can't hold the ball up to take pressure from midfielders to let others come into play. He struggles with that side of the game, and he struggles with his link-up play. And I said last night I thought he was hiding at times behind defenders, but somebody would say he's not getting intelligence for that either. I just think he has a good enough listener. He will score goals, and he'll probably get 21 goals this season. And I know he scored an important goal against Betis, but to me, will he get enough important goals between now and the end of the season? I don't think so. I think it's always been the back of my mind. We don't have a number nine we can rely on because of injuries and it's only really Desser we've got left. So that, and he's playing and he's giving it his all, but it's not going to be good enough. I feel we missed the trick, maybe signing an last striker, but we didn't have any money as a manager alluded to. We kind of knew that anyway. So he's just having to play what he's got. Will he play him on Sunday? I don't know. Will he try somebody else in the middle? I don't know either, but I just feel at times he will cost us just because we can't rely on him to take one chance for it in the net. We need a few chances. And I just don't think, and like I said previously, he's not good enough, Martin. He just isn't good enough. And it's nothing to slag him about. He's just not good enough footballer, but we require somebody better.
No, listen, I do agree. But he is what we have at the moment, and he is what all we really have. And we will discuss Fabio Silva in a wee second. Can I just say, everybody watching, thank you for tuning in on a Friday night. I'm sure there's loads of other things you could be doing, but you know, loads of you tuning in and watching, it's greatly, greatly appreciated. If you want to help support the podcast, of course, just watch, give the show a like, make sure you're subscribed. Like I say, we're heading towards 10,000 subscribers, but there's been a lot of people recently joining as members, so we are getting back up towards the 100 member mark. Once we get a wee bit above that, once we get to 150 members, we will bring back the member shows here on YouTube. So if that's something that you would like and you haven't already, then consider joining as a member. The button is below, if you're on a computer, just below the screen. And if you're on a mobile phone, then the link for which is in the description. Kerr, straight back to you. Another thing that Dessers mentioned there was obviously there was no excitement about what going forward in the dressing room last night. Obviously, you've just lost a European game. A lot of the chat has been about, you know, we've lost in Europe and we lost against Motherwell. Hopefully, this doesn't mean a downturn in results and performances. Hopefully, it doesn't affect us going forward. Cyril saying there, no, it won't. We'll pick ourselves up, carry on. Any worries there for you at all?
There's always worries, Martin, I think.
I don't know why I mean to you, actually, because you're the most pessimistic man I know.
No, but even against him, you look tired. I think we need the break. I do think we need the break because he's been picking bare bones. He's not had a lot to pick from, especially in the middle of the front. I think you can see Lundstrom's been his main man in the middle, but John looks tired. And we played that much football with not a lot to pick from, and that's what the manager's fault. He can only choose with what he's got, and I think we need to get Sunday out of the way, and hopefully after Sunday and a wee break, we can have maybe two or three back. Campbell's back, which will help. Hopefully Ruth can stay injury-free, but we just don't know that. I seen some of the comments about Lovelace, but Lovelace is injured as well. We can't really rely on him, so Dessers is the main option. Our problem isn't being defence or goalkeeper. If we're middle to front, we've not got a lot going forward, and we're having to rely on other people to score goals. I thought Diamondi was... I don't know how he lasted 85 minutes, because I thought after about 60, he was done. I thought he was treading water at times. I thought he was torn caravans, as the other manager we used to have would say, but I just thought it was, but that's the manager looking at his bench saying, I don't want to risk him, maybe I don't want to risk him. Raskin would have been a shout for me, but I don't know why he's getting not a lot of minutes at the moment. I know people probably putting him in it in the comments, he's not been good enough, but he was willing to go. I'd have shoved him on earlier. Like I said, he's got bare bones of a squad, and we've done phenomenal since he's come in with this squad of players. So hopefully one or two back, hope Sterling's back, like Campbell's get more rest under his belt and a couple of us come back, because we're missing, especially in the wide areas, we're missing.
Yeah, and Jim's on again in their super chat. Thank you very much, Jim. I'm loving this title race. We are getting that shiver of shit, the fear. We're going to come back to that, Jim, in a wee bit, and we're going to come back to the media attention that Rangers are getting. I know it's already been discussed, but I haven't discussed it yet, so I'm going to bring it up in a wee bit. And Lewis, I've got a feeling that I'm right to take this to you, right? Because I think you've maybe got a wee bit to say on this. Cliff, now, is it Cliff Renfrew or is it Cliff in Renfrew? What are we thinking? It's got to be Cliff in Renfrew, isn't it? Got to be in it? Ah, well, Cliff, let us know. Clermont has Rangers punching well above their weight. If we win the league, that would be amazing, given the shambles he inherited. Agree with every single word, Lewis. What Clermont has done at our football club since he's come in has been fantastic. However, does Clermont take the blame for us losing that game last night?
I think most definitely the majority of the blame for last night's defeat, unfortunately, has to go to the manager. And listen, I still stand by my statement that in my very short time watching Rangers, he is probably the most talented manager that I've seen. You know, we always said that the perfect manager would be somebody with the tactics and somebody with the mentality. And I think he's got both. I think the most part of what he's done has been a miracle, but he got a lot wrong last night. I think you look at the goal. So the goal comes from two things mistaken by Clermont, in my opinion, as the two players that end up chasing Rafa Silva back is Tom Lawrence and Mohamed Diamande, who should not have survived past 50 minutes. And one of them ended up playing, I think, to the 67th minute. Another one ended up playing over 80 minutes. Now, you know, Stevie Wonder could have seen that they two were gone. They were absolutely gone. They were holes in our starting 11. Tom Lawrence was actually becoming a man done. You know, he was just causing fouls. Every pass he was trying to place was just gone 2 centimetres in front of his foot. And you take the two off, possibly that goal doesn't hurt him. And then even before that, what was the corner tactic? Like, that is just craziness. You're not leaving one player back in a team that, like Kerr said, we aren't really famed for our pace right now. And it's just to leave nobody back was crazy. And that's why for me at the end of the day, the goal was caused by the two things that Clermont could have been proactive instead of being reactive. Because at Rangers, you need to be proactive. You can't be a defensive-minded manager, because that's how the last two managers probably ended up losing their jobs, because they thought that way. And Clermont usually does this, so that's why it shocked me. But last night, the goal comes from his tactics and his lack of you know, acting when you see the weakness happening. I'm not having this nonsense that the players weren't fit. See, if Todd Cantwell and Kamar Roof are on the bench, that they're going to have to be fit for at least 45 minutes. You cannot be on the bench for a game like this and only be fit for 20 minutes. And see, at Rangers, every game is the most important game. We don't consider what comes next. We don't care if the Old Firm is the next day. If you're playing Benfica in a European tie where you were probably slightly the favourites given the scenario, you should have been doing everything in your power to win that game. And if everybody gets injured, everybody gets injured. That's just what's going to happen. You can't do anything about that. But for me, it's the first bit of weakness I've seen in Clermont. I don't think it's going to be a consistent thing. I think it's just a poor singular performance for the manager. I still think he's definitely the man to be taking us forward. And listen, despite the loss last night, I think there's a lot to be excited about if the finances are given to Philippe Clermont as a Rangers manager.
I can already picture the comments that are going to fly in about what Lewis has just said, and I absolutely love it. So, Wolf, I'm going to take what Lewis said to you, and I'm even going to ask you a question, because Lewis opened up about a four-hour conversation there, right? I'm just going to give you the right of reply.
I agree with some of what you said. I disagree with some of which as well. I'm not going to hammer him. I'm not here. That's not my nature. Hammer friends on podcasts or anybody else for that matter. I got enough stick after the first leg to not be hammering anybody. But the corner kick tactics were ridiculous. I don't understand why we had nobody back defending. I get they had everybody in the box, but why did we not pull somebody out of the box? If we're a goal down and chasing the game, I get having absolutely everybody in the box. I get that. Right, but to leave nobody back for the ball coming out, for me, is absolutely scandalous. I mean, they broke at pace, which is what they're going to do. I mean, there's loads and loads of elements in the goal that cost us. I mean, Dessers did what Dessers tries to do. I don't know what he was thinking. He should have put the ball back to Lundstrom at the edge of the box. They lost it. They moved it up the park. We had nobody, absolutely nobody. As Lewis says, the guys tracking back the Benfica player that scored the goal, we're never ever going to catch him. It was the tactics were scandalous. The corners are ridiculous. I don't know why we're doing outswinging corners instead of inswinging corners. They just don't want. There's no variation. Ridvan, I think Ridvan's a terrific little player, but he couldn't cross the road. So why is he taking corners? I mean, why not let Tom Lawrence is decent with a dead ball. Let him take the corners. I don't get this constant. The fullback has to take the corners.
I thought he was really poor last night. I thought Lawrence was poor.
He was poor, but he can still hit a dead ball. You know what I mean? You don't need to be playing well to be able to stick a cross in. And I mean, Lewis's point about the fitness of the players. I agree with them. They should have had at least 45 minutes in them. But I think in the back of Clement's mind was the potential for extra time. So if he brings Roof on at half-time and he's only got 45 minutes in him and the game finishes a draw, we've got nothing on the bench to win us the game in extra time. So he brings him on a bit later in the second half, just in case, so we can maybe stretch him that 45 minutes. Possibly the same with Cantwell. You know, they should have had at least a half in them, otherwise why are they there? But with the spectre of extra time, it's possibly why you're like, I don't know, I can't speak for the man, but that's possibly why he didn't bring them on a little bit earlier, and ultimately that did cost us. So there's mistakes all over. The manager's not immune from criticism on this one. The players did what they could do under the circumstances. I don't really want to throw anybody under the bus on this, but it was disappointing because as good a team as Benfica were, they were there for the taking. And we just need to pick ourselves up and move on. And as we said earlier, we just need to get past Dundee any which way we can. You know, I mean, I noticed that our friend across the city had a pop at us last weekend. I don't know if anybody else picked up on it when he said that just finding a way to win is not what they do. Well, I'm sorry, but just finding a way to win will do me in Sunday. Just get the 3 points in the bag, get 2 weeks rest, and then just come back as many players fit and firing as we can and just make sure we bring that leak home.
I don't care if the ball hits half a balloon in the 115th minute on Sunday and goes in the goal and we win 1-0.
Why are you on the pitch in the 115th minute?
That's what I'm saying. That was the point I was making. Sorry. That went right here in my head there. You caught me a balloon. Fair enough. That was good. That was clever. Because I called you old. Fair enough. I'm going to take this straight back to you, Lewis, as a right to reply for Charles. Your boys like Lewis not got a Scooby, although you're entitled to your opinion. Philip Clement's fault, give us a break. No blaming Dessers, but to take 3 to 5 touches in shoots, won't get away with that at any level. Charles, thank you so much for the support, my friend. Lewis, right of reply.
Look, listen, it's like I said, opinions are arseholes. Everybody's got them. Just sometimes some smell worse than others.
I think you'll find Kim Jong-un, doesn't he? That's a fact.
Yeah, I'll just swiftly move on for that. If that's the case, I've not got a Scooby. Maybe I wasn't watching the same game last night, but at the end of the day, it was the manager's decision to put the corner tactics into place, and I haven't met anybody else that said that wasn't the reason for us conceding the goal. And when you're the manager of a football club, the buck stops with you. So I've been on this podcast since the guys came in, and I've made it clear very early how excited I'm about this man and how quality he is. I mean, I've just said my last point. I think he's probably the best manager I've personally ever seen at Rangers. I never got to see too much of Walter, so I think he's definitely the best in terms of managerial ability. And that does not mean he's absolutely, you know, not obliged to be getting criticism for last night, because it was his choices. And I know he didn't have many options, and I know he might have been thinking about extra time and Sunday, but again, that's a reactive defensive mindset. You can't think like that, because Wolf is right that maybe he did think like that, and if we got to extra time, that would have stood us in good stead to have Kamal Roof on the pitch. But if he put Kamal Roof on and Todd Cantwell on in the 50th minute, we might have scored before we conceded, and then we win the game. So that's just what it is being a manager. That's why they get paid so much money. That's why, you know, the pressure is on them to be the manager of a club like Rangers, and it's so you were so sceptical as a fan base, and they can't be, you know, void of criticism because he's done so well in the past. Because then you start to let, you know, standards slip. And I don't think Clement would like that. I think if you ask Clement, he would say, I probably got a wee bit wrong last night. And that's just what I've seen. And if people disagree with me, then that's fine.
We don't like Cliff, by the way. Cliff actually lives in Los Angeles. His surname is Renfrew. I don't care that he's for Glasgow. The fact he lives in Los Angeles annoys me, because I'm stuck in Hamilton. So we don't like Cliff anymore. I mean, Kerr, I get what people in the comments are saying. I get what Lewis is saying. Look, you don't lose a game over two legs on one mistake from a corner, right? So obviously at the time that we were in, if Clement changed his philosophy that night on corners, then maybe we don't concede. So I can see both parties' argument on who was to blame last night.
Just like to say to Cliff Renfrew, cheers for that. I can visit Los Angeles anytime. You can go, Martin. Mark G, I was in the boom room last night. Listen, last night was just, like I said earlier, Martin's fine margins. Dessers plays it back to Lundstrom. They might not break up the part and score. I can see where Lewis is coming from. I was shouting as well. It was the manager's fault. And I came back home and watched it, and I thought maybe it wasn't his fault. Listen, as soon as the players cross that white line, they take responsibility, in my opinion. Manager can only tell them so much, but they make the decisions on the part, and sometimes they make the wrong decisions. But like I said, the other teams hit us in the back quite a lot, the corners, not quite a lot, they've done it in the past, but other teams get harmed to them. It's just one of the things. Listen, if I was on another team, they might not have the ability. Benfica had, they might not have scored. But these things happen. But the corners, they weren't great, but I can see what they're trying to do. They're pushing up to put pressure on, but the problem is the deliveries were poor. Like, I agree with Wolf, they were outswingers, they weren't the inswingers, they weren't on top of the keeper. They weren't getting somebody to go for, like, the centre-backs from the challenge of them looking out the way. And I thought Red Van was taking decent free kicks, but obviously his corners have been poor over the last couple of games. But listen, his cross balls in before, and they've been decent. It's just an off night. Maybe swap him. Let him put an in-swinger and let Tab go the other side, put an in-swinger. I don't really know. But listen, if Dessers does okay there, the ball goes back, they don't score. But it's all ifs and buts. Because we get beat, we kind of keep pointing the fingers and blaming folk. Sometimes just take the result on the chin. Like I said, it was fine margins. If he'd have scored first, the ball went through and won me never. It's time to move on. Stop looking for somebody to blame. It's just one of the things. There wasn't a lot between us and Benfica. And I was proud of the boys last night. They couldn't give any more if they tried. Sometimes just have to admit, just the lack of quality because of injuries and other stuff cost us. It was nothing else.
Is your new grandchild in the house, Kev?
She has been the stairs.
Some set of lungs on her. Jim Sloan, Lewis, mate, young arseholes have a tendency to become old arseholes. That's very true. Thanks for the support, as ever, Jim. But can we get away for the arsehole chat now? I mean, we're not even past the watershed yet on a Friday night. So let's get away for all that chat, shall we? Shall we hear from John Souter? There's a reason that I want to hear from John Souter, because I want to discuss him after it. Because I think if we can continue to keep him on the trajectory that he's on and keep him away from injuries, I think he could become very pivotal for this football club. But let's hear what you had to say.
John, a disappointing evening. Was it more a frustrating game more than anything?
Yeah, it was. I thought overall we played well. We had good spells of possession. And it's a tough way to go out. The way the goal was conceded was tough. But yeah, that's what happens in Europe, you get punished. And yeah, they did that.
Yeah, it's even more frustrating considering you had a lot of the ball, you had better control of the game, but you perhaps just lacked that quality in the final third.
Yeah, I think we were a lot better on the ball than we were in Lisbon. Probably scored two goals in the break in Lisbon, defended well, but today we were a lot better on the ball. I think we worked a lot on that in the sessions in between the games. But yeah, in the end, goals win games, and they've taken their chance and we didn't.
Yeah, is it important to park a result list and just remember how much you've still got to play for this season as well?
Yeah, it is. Obviously it hurts just now because it's fresh. But as soon as tomorrow comes, it'll be done and our full focus will be on the competitions we're still in.
And we saw the appreciation from the crowd at the end who realised that the effort that you put in over the two ties.
Yeah, I'm sure the boys appreciate that. But we would have preferred if we won. I'm sure they would appreciate it more if we won. But it's important. As I say, tomorrow when we wake up, our full focus has got to be on the cup and the league now.
Yeah, and obviously, as you say, full focus is now in the Dundee game. It's a good chance to bounce back and have some momentum going into the international break.
Yeah, as I say, it'll be tomorrow morning until we get our heads around it. But yeah, full focus will be on Dundee at the weekend.
Lewis, that's the first time I've heard that, but I didn't hear that last night. Sounds absolutely gutted. Would I be going over the score a bit if I was to say to you that I think he's been, in the last 4 or 5 weeks, our best player?
I don't think it would be too outlandish, no. I think John Souter is probably the best centre-back at Rangers in terms of his ability to defend and on the ball. I think he's by far the best on the ball. You know, some of the runs he has, bringing the ball out for defence, is tremendous, and he's very, very good defensively. And to be honest with you, I think you need to take into consideration that he's never getting to play on his favourite side either, because Goldson just does not have the capability to play as a left centre-back. So John Souter is good enough to play there. And I think if in some world... you know, I'm a Conor Goldson fan. I'm not one of the ones that doubt his ability either. But in some world in the future where Goldson was to move on or maybe no better starter, I would love to see John Souter as the right-sided centre-back, because I think he would be near enough flawless. I think he's got absolutely everything for a modern-day centre-back. And I also think he's Scotland's best centre-back as well. It would be absolutely crazy to me if he does not start for Scotland, but that's a topic for another show. But he's been absolutely excellent. A player that has obviously struggled with injury, and to be honest with you, if he didn't have as many injuries, he probably wouldn't even be at Rangers. He would probably be at an even higher level than here. But very, very glad that he's here. You know, he's 27 now. He should be coming in. He's absolute prime. And like I said, I think you're no outlandish at all. I think he's been absolutely outstanding.
I mean, well, Marianne is saying Souter's our best centre-back. Listen, Wolf, I'm a big fan of Conor Goldson as well. I'm also a fan of Balogun. I think Balogun's a cracking defender as well. But the levels that I've seen for Souter, yeah, all right, he didn't have a great game against Motherwell. Every player's going to have mistakes in them. Obviously, when a defender makes a mistake, majority of the time it can lead to a goal, which makes it look worse. But I think what we've seen for Souter, if we can, like we have this season, incredibly, considering the rest of the squad's been out injured, keep him as injury-free as possible, I kind of have to agree. I think he is our best centre-back. I think he's one of the best, if not the best centre-back in Scotland, not just at defending, like Lewis says, bringing the ball out from defence. His passing range is excellent. Just all round an excellent centre back.
Yeah, can't disagree with any of that. I obviously saw a little bit of John when he was at Hearts before we signed him, and I think he's a terrific centre back. He's good defensively. He's good going forward. He's comfortable on the ball. He's another reason that our current corner regime frustrates me, because John Souter is tremendous with an attacking header, and we just don't throw anything in his direction from set pieces. That really gets to me, because anytime we send a set piece into the box that's going for a defender, it heads for Goldson. Other than the header last week in Lisbon, Goldson's headers have been absolutely ridiculous. Whereas Souter, if you give him a header, I would say more than 80% of the time it's going to be on target. You know, quite often he'll score off it because he's good with an attacking header. He's, say, defensively really, really, really solid. He's comfortable on the ball. His range of passing, as somebody mentioned in the comments, his range of passing last night, immense. He does that all the time. I just think he's a terrific. He's probably the best. I don't watch a lot of other teams, but you'd have to go somewhere to find a better centre-half in Scotland than him.
I have to agree. I don't like to say it on here, but I think Cameron Carter-Vickers, when he's fit for Celtic, right up there as well, maybe being the best centre-back in the league, and I think it shows when he plays. But John Souter is right up there, right alongside him, I think. And so is Goldson, by the way, but I just think Souter's shown levels to his game over the last few weeks that make me very excited for the future. And the fact that we've managed to keep him relatively injury-free is positive for the future as well. Right, we're going to come on to the Dundee game. But for everybody watching on YouTube, Twitter and Facebook, if there's any specific topic about Rangers that you want us to discuss, we'll probably have about 5 minutes at the end of the show to discuss it. So get it in the comments. If I see a topic that I like, then I'll bring it up and we'll have a quick chat about that, because it's Friday night. It's chilled. It's Rabble Extra. It's your show. So get in the comments what you want us to discuss. And Wilf, that doesn't mean you putting something in the comments that you want us to discuss, because I can see you jumping straight on that. It's not going to happen. There's plenty of chat about Souter as well, which I should probably do something like that more for the phone-in, so folk actually phone in. Just put something a bit controversial out there for folk to phone in. But well, coming straight back to you, and you know, the title's different on Facebook and Twitter than what it is on YouTube, because you can't, it's a whole story. You can't change stuff on Facebook after you've done it. But I basically titled it on YouTube, Wolf, as Rangers must win on Sunday. Now, I know Rangers must win every game, Wolf, right? But in terms of the title race, in terms of momentum, in terms of confidence, the fact that we are getting close to the end of the season, Sunday is a must.
Every single game from here on in is a must win. I mean, for me, last night was a must win, because, like us all, don't like to see Rangers losing games of football. But, I mean, okay, we're out of Europe. Anything after the group stages was a bonus in Europe, so we can park that till next season. But, I mean, Sunday's a must win. We can't afford to slip up in the league. We have to keep the momentum going, up at least up until the split. I mean, as I said earlier, any way we can get past Dundee, whether it is a 115th minute deflection off of the balloon in the edge of the box, as you said earlier, doesn't matter how it goes in, as long as we just have to beat Dundee, because we have to just keep the pressure on, stay top of the league. 2 week break, because you know what makes it even more important that we stay top is because of the international break. The noise, if we slip up, the noise in the media for 2 weeks, because there's no other domestic football till after international, will be ferocious. Because if we stay top, they'll hardly mention the league race. It'll all be Scotland this and Scotland that and Scotland the next thing. But if we slip up and let them overtake us, the media will be incessant, and that'll just pile the pressure back onto us, which we could really do without, you know. But even aside from that, we have to just keep winning games of football to win this title. If we can beat Dundee, go to the break, come back out the break, win the games ahead of taking Celtic to Ibrox, win that, where it will be in a great position at the start of the split, and we have to be in that position if we're serious about winning this title.
Yeah, I have to agree, and there's quite a good few comments came in about stuff to talk about after we discussed the Dundee game, by the way, so I've seen a good few already. If you can think of more, then please do get them in. Lewis Allen on Facebook, it feels like it's going to be a struggle on Sunday just with how shattered our lads look. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I'm going into Sunday full of confidence and that we're going to scalp Dundee 4-5. I think Alan does actually have a point there, that Sunday could, I mean, look, we could rock up on Sunday and put 4 past Dundee, 5 past Dundee. We have the capability to do that. Of course we do. But Lewis, you do the Scottish Football Show. You've seen a lot of Dundee this season. They're not a bad team.
No, they certainly aren't a bad team, especially going forward. But I think, you know, strangely, that is actually the teams that Rangers have success against. You know, a team like Hearts are much better going forward than they are defensively. Because Rangers are the best defensively team in the league by quite some distance. I think we've conceded like six or seven goals less than Celtic now at this point. So that doesn't really worry me. What worries me is how early we score a goal, because if it goes into the second half, I think the tiredness is going to really, really start to play a factor. But listen, we've got Matondo coming back, we've got Cantwell back, we've got Roof back, we've got Raskin, who really, really needs to stake a claim to stay at this football club. We should have enough to beat Dundee by three goals. It's just the worry comes from how you think the players might react for this. It goes one or two ways. Either they're going to let it absolutely derail their season because they were gutted about not beating Benfica, or they're going to use it as motivation and think, listen, one of the best teams in the Europa League, third favourites actually to win the competition, just came to Ibrox and played a low block because they were scared of us. So I think, given the manager that's in the dugout for us, it'll be the latter. I think we will definitely be using it as motivation. And I think, like a product of a Philippe Clement squad this season, there'll be rotation. And I think there'll be enough to get past Dundee.
Listen, there's no point in me asking Wolf that question, because we know what Wolf's going to say. Wolf won't even predict us to lose a goal. We could go to Barcelona away and Wolf wouldn't predict us it lose a goal. But well, interestingly, Lewis mentioned Raskin there, who, when he came on against Benfica, probably, and he's only had small cameos, right? Okay, but it was his best small cameo, if that makes sense, in my humble opinion. Is he somebody that you can see the manager bringing in for the beginning, for the start on Sunday?
I think he's really going to have to. His performance in his small cameo last night should have been enough for him to get a start on Sunday, because we are running on empty in the middle of the park. So I would be very surprised if he doesn't start, because he's going to have to shake the team up, because they really were out on their pins by the end of the game last night. And yeah, I get it's the break coming up, and they can just, they can leave it all out on the pitch and all the other cliches that you can use. But I'd be very, very surprised if Raskin doesn't start, just to give somebody a rest. For example, put Raskin into Lawrence out just to give him a rest. You know, just shake the midfield up a little bit. I'd be surprised if Campbell didn't start as well. And Raskin tends to play better with Campbell beside him. I don't know whether that's just a coincidence or just the way I perceive it. But I mean, I would definitely be starting the two of them. Even if Campbell's only got 45 minutes, and I'm starting him and then take him off. I'd rather he did that than he didn't start him and brought him on to get minutes later.
Well, I was more thinking, Lewis, that Raskin would come in for either Lundstrom or Diamandé. The reason being is that I think both of them are knackered. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Diamandé didn't play much before he came to us, did he? There wasn't much football played for him. He's come in and practically played every game since he's come in. He looked exhausted. And I think Ross Clark actually made a good point in the reaction, where he's actually started to play as if when the ball's coming to him, it's right on the edge of his control. And I don't know if that's just because he is out on his feet. So that's why Raskin replace him rather than Lawrence, or do we have to be careful with Lawrence because of his injuries?
I would be benching both of them, to be perfectly honest. I think what the manager will do is he'll give a 45 each to Lundstrom and Diamandé, whether he starts Diamandé or starts Lundstrom. I think that's what he'll do, and he'll give Raskin the full 90 minutes, because Raskin has started to slowly improve in the cameos that he's been making. And a thing that the Rangers fan base love to do is just absolutely disregard what a player was, you know, 3 or 4 months ago and say that they're not a good footballer. You know, Nicholas Raskin and Todd Cantwell were absolutely sublime in their first 6 months at Rangers. And Nico Raskin was also not lucky enough to be there when the Clement regime had started. You know, people forget that I think it was a month and a half or something before he actually started to play, so he doesn't have the tactical familiarity with the system, and he doesn't understand fully the same way everybody else is how Clement wants him to play. And I've been on here before, if Clement can get the best at Nico Raskin, our midfield in the next year or so should be Nico Raskin beside Mohamed Diamandé, as good as John Lundstrom is. You know, because age-wise, you want to progress, you want to push the youth through, and there's been enough for Raskin to see that he's a quality footballer. And I think he really needs to step up, because it's looking slim pickings in there. You know, you can never rely on Ryan Jack, unfortunately, anywhere as good as he is. And I don't see him maybe getting a start to like Cole McKinnon, or for example, at this stage of the season. So for me, it would need to be half and half of Diamande and Lunny, and then start Raskin, and I would take Tom Lawrence out because he has looked like he's struggled the last two games. Almost made it, Martin.
Oh, 53 minutes in, and I was on mute. Unbelievable. If that's not worth a like and a subscribe, I don't know what is. Lewis, Wolf mentioned Todd Cantwell. I would be amazed, and it worries me slightly, actually, just with the injury record that we have this season. I really didn't agree with Todd coming on the pitch, to be brutally honest with you, against Benfica. I thought there's absolutely no way. This guy's just coming back from injury. He's had one training session. He's not ready to go. And it worried me that he might have just picked up an injury straight away. So I would be amazed, Lewis, if he starts.
I don't think I would be. I think, again, it might be a case that he'll get the first half or he might get the second half. Whatever Clement wants to do, maybe swap Lawrence and Cantwell because, you know, you've seen it. He's just quality. I rate Cantwell so much. I think he spurs so many of the other players on. Like Wolf said about Raskin and Cantwell, you know, they seem to bounce off each other. I think the same can be said for Cantwell and Fabio Silva. I think any time they two have linked up this season, you can tell. It was like Hadji and Kent, when two players are that talented and they both have that mindset of thinking a step or two ahead, it really does spur you on when going forward. And I think he's going to need to play some part tomorrow because Tom Lawrence cannot play any more than an hour again. And is there anybody else in that position? I don't think we can play anybody else because then you're looking at changing the system and changing the formation. I know there was mumblings that Sterling might be back, but again, that's another risky decision.
You could maybe stretch Cole into that position, but again, that's a risk. I absolutely take your point. And I suppose that brings us to the wider conversation, Wolf, around Fabio Silva. A lot of people not too happy with Fabio. I don't know. Every time I see the guy, I think he's a class act. I think he's got absolute quality. Does it always come out? Does he always beat a man? Does he always score? No. But I can see the quality the man has. But then the conversation is going to come. Is he a winger? Is he a striker? Is he a 10? Where will he play tomorrow? Will Dessers miss out? Will they play Silva through the middle? Do we have anybody to come in left wing to move Silva if he wants to drop him or move him position? What happens on Sunday with Fabio Silva?
I wish I knew the answer to that question. Because you're right in everything you say. I don't think he's that. Very unusually. I like him coming in from the left. I don't think he's a central striker. I don't think that's his game. But if that's not his game, then what you're saying is you've got to play Cyril Dessers. And Dessers, although you'll score your goals against teams like Dundee. You can't lay your life down on that one. We need goals on Sunday. So I've got a feeling he might play him down the middle. Whether he plays him as what is it they call it? Lewis, the kids call it a false nine. I don't know whether they play, so we don't actually go with a number nine. They play him as a false nine, kind of floating about or not. I'm not quite sure because I've got no idea what his best position is. I personally prefer him coming in from the left. But I mean, I don't even know if you asked him himself what he would say his preferred position is. But I just don't think he's a central striker.
Just don't ask Dujon Sterling that question. Because that's an even bigger worry. I don't know what his position is either. Lewis, just quickly then, on Dundee themselves, who are their threats? Who should we be looking out for? Who can cause us problems?
I think the main threats for Dundee is Lyle Cameron, a 20-year-old Scottish boy, midfielder. He's really, really good on the ball. He's very un-Dundee-like. You know, he's quite technically gifted. He's got an eye for a pass. I think he's got a few goals this season. You've also got Owen Beck, you know, that's Robert's love child, if you've ever watched the Scottish football show. Left back on loan from Liverpool. He's got fantastic numbers for a fullback, especially at Dundee. You know, Scott Tiffany, for Partick Thistle as well. There is somebody else that I'm trying to rack my brain.
Not good enough, Lewis.
No, it's poor for me. Scottish boy, blonde hair. Scored that absolute screamer against Xander Clark. Can't remember. Anyway, Anyway, that's that. They're a good side. Really, Luke McCown, that's it. He's probably the best player, and he's the one I forgot. So that's not great knowledge for me. But they're a good side, really good going forward. But again, that seems to suit us. Teams like Hearts, we are play well against teams like this. That's the low block that we struggle against. So I think we should be fine.
Now, there's people saying that you know they beat Aberdeen the last game. It's Aberdeen. That's all I would say to that. Right, okay, just very, very quickly, in a sentence or two, I'll ask you both this question. Even with it being a Europa game that we failed to win, Wolf, with a quick turnaround, all the injuries that we have, all the kind of the momentum doesn't seem to be going our way. Are you confident, Sunday, we're going to win? We're going to win comfortably?
Yes. I don't know if the game will be comfortable. I think the scoreline will ultimately be comfortable. As Lewis says, we should be winning two or three, which is quite a comfortable scoreline. It might take a while to get there. The thing that concerns me, as it always concerns me, is the second goal that we score. Because when you're only 1-0 up, you know, one little slip and it's back to 1-1 and you're back at it again. So if we can score a couple of quick, if we can get two ahead fairly quickly, then I think we'll be fairly comfortable after that, because they'll fancy it, because they're still battling for top six, so they will fancy it. But I think, yeah, defensively we've been quite good, as long as we can take our chances, and we will make chances against that Dundee team. So yeah, I'm fairly confident we'll win by two or three.
And Lewis, just a yes or a no, do you agree with what Wolf just said?
Yes.
Right, cool. Right, okay, final question of the night then. I asked you all for a question. I have picked out one of them, and I'll come to both of you, but Lewis, I'll start this time with you, and it's from Stuart. Is Danilo good enough to lead the line next season? That is a question.
I don't know. I don't know, because I think Danilo misses maybe as much or even more chances than Dessers, but he does also get more chances than Dessers, and he is also a much better footballer than Dessers, and he offers a lot more than Dessers. So it just totally depends on what Clermont wants in his striker. If he wants an Antonio Čolak that's just going to sit out and sniff chances, then no chance. Danilo is probably even a worse option than Cyril Dessers. But if he wants a Mera Kinte, an Alfredo Morello, or somebody who's going to get you close to 20 goals a season but provides a lot more and maybe even hits double figures in assists and is more technically capable and matches our forward line, then Danilo's certainly the answer. But he's only turning 25, Danilo. He's just had his first long-term injury. He's performed in a league that is debatably better than ours. He's performed in European competition before this. He seemed to be one of your better players this year in the Europa League whenever he got a game. But it'll just depend on the manager. I think he'll get a chance anyway.
Wolf, is £5.5-6 million Danilo good enough to lead the line for us next season?
Depends who he's playing beside. Depends who we're bringing to play beside him. Because as Lewis said, he's not going to do what Tony Čolak did and just sit up there on his own and stick a ball in the back of the net from what we've seen of him. So I think he could be, but he'd need somebody up beside him. That somebody isn't going to be Cyril Dessers, because he's not good enough to play up alongside him. However, Martin, my question for you would be: would you keep Dessers on the books, because we're short of strikers as it is, and if we get rid of him, that's another striker we need to bring in. So, would you keep him on the books next season if we've got somebody to play up alongside Danilo? Does Dessers stay as a kind of backup to them?
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. It depends. If we can get a decent fee for Dessers, that means that we can bring in a player of better quality for less money than what we've paid for Dessers, because we've obviously clearly seriously overpaid for Cyril. Then no, if we don't have that option and we need to use him for backup, then we have to keep him and we have to use him. It all depends on what the manager can find, to be brutally honest with you both. If it was up to me, no.
Okay.
Happy with that?
I was going to ask you to get off that fence, but you jumped off the fence, so that's fine.
Always jump off the fence. Well, Lewis, thank you very much. And obviously Scott Kerr as well, who had to jump. Thank you very much to Kerr. Thank you to everybody watching for all the super chats as well. You keep this show going. It's greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. We are back on Sunday at 11:15 for build-up to obviously the Dundee game, and then we have reaction to that as well. I'm not sure if we've got a Scottish football show on Sunday night or not. I don't know yet. I'll find out, and I'll post it in the community group. If you are subscribed on YouTube, then check out the community tab. And of course, you can help to support the podcast by joining as a member. As soon as we get to 150 members, then we will start our member shows back up. So, apart from that, folks, go and enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Enjoy your weekend. And we'll see you back here on the Rangers Rabble Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube channel on Sunday, 11:15. Podcast Network.